Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
The title of this podcast is Those Who Touch Us Deeply, and it basically is a continuing thought that I first explored in my series, Those Who Inspire Me and Why, which is available to members over at Lenswork Online, where I discuss a few dozen photographers and some others who have been particularly inspirational in my life. But I continue to think about this, and the more I do so, the more I realize what a special thing this is. If we're lucky, our art life is filled with people with whom we connect deeply through their artwork. For example, I love Caravaggio. I think his painting is just fantastic. I could look at them for hours. But I'm not that crazy about Botticelli. And I know lots of people are. Lots of people don't like Caravaggio. Why? Why do we connect with some work more deeply than others? And I'm not asking that as an intellectual question. Seriously, why? What is it about these artists that touch us so deeply? What I'm proposing is that's a worthwhile pursuit in the creative life, is to think more carefully about those with whom we connect and those with whom we don't. I love Brahms. Not that crazy about Bartok. Or to bring it more into modern times, I can't get enough of Jethro Tull, but I've never been a Beatles fan, and clearly that makes me an odd duck because the Beatles are, well, they're the Beatles. And a lot of people who love the Beatles could care less about Jethro Tull. So it seems to me to be fruitful to ask such questions. And this is a good example of where the questions are probably more important than the answers. Even if we don't find answers, just asking such questions about our preferences and our likes and our dislikes and spending time with their artwork is a sort of joy that adds something precious to our art experiences. So here's four examples. These are not from Those Who Inspire Me and Why, because I thought of these four examples after I had completed publishing that earlier series. But I continue to ask this question as I find new people and new works that move me deeply. So here's a few more. Yuja Wang is a pianist from China who is absolutely fantastic. You can find lots of her performances on YouTube if you like classical music, particularly if you like piano concertos, that kind of thing. She's fantastic. And I've watched essentially everything I've ever found on YouTube many, many times, and I think she's so great. But the question is why? Not just that she touches me emotionally and that I enjoy listening to her play the piano, but there must be something about the way she plays the piano that is so captivating to me. So I've asked that question as I've watched lots and lots of her performances. And I think what it boils down to is the work of precision that precedes what we see in her performance. I know every time I watch her perform, I can practically see the hours and hours and hours of preparation that go into a 30-minute piano concerto. She is a fabulous example of that old bumper sticker wisdom that an amateur practices until they get it right and a professional practices until they can't get it wrong. She is a world-class leading professional when it comes to classical piano, and every time I see her, it's almost as though I can see through the performance to the hours of work in the background that are manifest on stage, but not visible to us other than on stage. And I think that pertains to photography. I know you can pick up a camera and click the shutter and make a picture, but to make an accomplished photograph, to make something that is really a manifestation of artwork that expresses your soul, that takes effort, it takes work, it takes practice, it takes failure after failure after failure until we get it right. And the longer we practice photography studiously, religiously, purposely, frequently, the more our photographs will show it. And I think that's part of the reason to be an artist, is it implies a discipline that encourages us to spend time and to study deeply so that we can express ourselves as fluently as we'd like. Yuju Wong is the manifestation of that in her chosen medium that inspires me in my chosen medium. So when I watch her performance, I know I'm not just seeing a performance. It's as though I'm seeing back in time to the months, the years, the decades that it took her in preparation for me to see her perform in a simple YouTube video. Another example of someone I connect with who touches me deeply is Charles Dickens. Now, I did mention him in the Those Who Inspire Me and Why series, but for different reasons. I just finished reading Bleak House again. And I don't know, this is probably my fifth or sixth time going through Bleak House. But one of the things I became aware of this time that I think I was not particularly aware of in previous readings was the way Dickens crafts the details. He's a good, but not great, plot developer. There's other writers who are much better, particularly Victorian writers, who are much better at developing complex and interrelated plots. Dickens does a passable job of that. But there's something else he does that some of the other writers don't do nearly so well. For one, Dickens is an expert at creating secondary characters, and some of his secondary characters are simply fantastic. They're a reason to read his novels. And oftentimes, it's the details of those characters that really bring them to life. A certain way they wear their hat, or a certain speech pattern, or a certain movement, or a certain philosophical outlook of life. He crafts those details into his characters so that they become seamless and the characters become alive. But he does it not just with characters. He also crafts the details of his scenes, of the light, of the physical structure that the scene takes place in, of the mood, of the atmosphere, of the weather. Just fantastic. And again, that reminds me of photography. When we create a photograph, there's the overall scene that requires our attention, obviously. But it's crafting the details that often make the difference between a mediocre photograph and a really great one. And anymore, that pertains as much to processing as it does to anything else, because we can literally process on the pixel level. We can craft details unlike all previous generations of photographers who didn't have near the ability to craft the details as we do. And I became aware of that by paying attention to how Dickens was crafting the details in his novels. In the series Those Who Inspire Me and Why, I also talked about Win Bullock. But since then, I've had another revelation about Win Bullock. This is one of the things about really great artists, is you can keep finding more layers of accomplishment the more you look into them, the more you study them, because they're not just surface performers. There's real depth to them. And one of the things that I recently realized about Win Bullock is that each image he made was a sort of revelation helping him discover himself. Bullock tended not to work in projects. He worked in individual images. But each individual image is its own complete universe. There's nothing missing. There's nothing you wish you could add. I've never looked at a Win Bullock photograph and thought, gee, this would be really better if he had done this or done that. You get the feeling when looking at Win Bullock's work that it was an exploration, not just of the thing he photographed, but his own self, his own philosophy, his own reaction and response to what he was photographing. And in that sense, discovering himself with each image. And last but not least, I need to talk about the Japanese woodblock printer Hokusai, who's obviously famous for his crashing wave off Kanazawa image that I'm sure you would all recognize. I didn't talk about Hokusai in Those Who Inspire Me and Why, and I probably should have, because Hokusai did such a marvelous job of exploring themes deeply. Most of photography, at least for the history of photography in the last 100 years or so. Most of it has been about individual standalone images, the kind of image that we applaud because it's so fantastic. We mat it and frame it and collect it and enjoy every moment when it's displayed on our walls. But that's not the only way to approach photography, and I've spent a considerable amount of time in my photographic life exploring the idea of themes, of multi-image projects, anything from seeing in sixes and folios and PDFs and etc. Well, that idea about exploring a theme deeply can really be seen in the work of Hokusai. If you get one of his books about his ukiyo-e prints or his woodblock prints, you'll see what I'm talking about. For example, one of the first bodies of work of his that I came across is titled A Tour of Japanese Waterfalls. And it's exactly what you think it is. It's a collection of woodblock prints, each one showing a unique Japanese waterfall rendered in a unique way. And in particular, that series about Japanese waterfalls demonstrated the idea of putting together a collection of images that were of the same subject, but were not repetitive. Each one of the images in that series is unique, doesn't look like any of the others. There's no sense of repetition. He was able to keep each one fresh and interesting and unique, but yet at the same time, they're all tied together in this group because they're all waterfalls. He did exactly the same thing in a project he titled 36 Views of Mount Fuji, which obviously has 36 woodblock prints, every one of which has Mount Fuji in it, sometimes as a big dominant thing, sometimes a little tiny thing way off in the background, but they all have Mount Fuji in them. And again, it was an exploration of a theme that was deep, that was not repetitive, that kept you wanting to spend time with each successive image in the series because they were so marvelously and wonderfully done. But there's another subtle lesson that goes beyond that. Because in addition to 36 views of Mount Fuji, he also did a series called 100 Views of Mount Fuji that doesn't have any of the 36 involved in it. Basically, he went back to what we assume is his favorite subject, or one of his favorite subjects, which is Mount Fuji, and did a completely separate second project that had 100 views, where the first views of Mount Fuji only had 36. Again, exploring the theme deeply. And the way that opened up a creative door in my life was this. I've done ever so many projects of a given sort of thing. Maybe they were waterfalls or some other landscape or abandoned farmhouses or whatever. And once I've done a project like that, I tend not to go back and do it again. I've already done that. I've already been there. I've already explored it. So why go back? Well, the reason to go back is the same reason that Hokusai went back, because if it's a really interesting and captivating and powerful subject, you'll develop new ways to look at it. And there's no reason to think that just because you've been there once and done it once, that you've explored every possibility that exists. It might get harder because you have to think more outside your own habits. But the idea of exploring a theme deeply and possibly in more than one project, is a lesson from Hokusai that's incredibly valuable. So you get the idea. Who touches you deeply as an artist? And I would propose that you take that question literally. Write down a list. Who are your favorite artists? And then follow that up with the more difficult question, why? What is it about that artist's work that connects with you so deeply? Sometimes that might be aesthetic. Sometimes there may be a lesson about the artistic life. Sometimes it's a structural thing that inspires you. But the more you can ask the question, why am I connected to this artist so deeply, the more it might open up ideas for yourself. And that ends up giving us two reasons to think about that artist. One, we just plain like them, and it's great to spend time with their artistic work. And two, they have lessons to teach us that may not be obvious, but might become a bit more understandable if we ask the question why we're so connected to them.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.